This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
I'm delighted to welcome Ali Waters of the recruitment team. Thank you for joining us, Ali.
Hi there.
Hi. So perhaps just to sort of start things off, perhaps you could just tell us in a nutshell what the recruitment team does, sort of what service it provides, etc.
Yeah, sure. So we help people improve their recruitment skills and processes. So that means it could be graduates being recruited by large organisations, improving their processes and skills in getting the right candidates to join them. It could be recruiting for small businesses. So it could be a small business owner recruiting their very, very first employee, trying to make sure that they are well prepared for interviews and know what sort of questions to ask. And it also could be candidates applying for jobs, preparing for their own interviews. So
right.
sort of three strands.
Okay, and is this your business?
Yes, it is.
And how long have you been doing this?
I've been recruiting for about 25 years, but my company, the recruitment team, I founded a couple of years ago, 2 years ago.
Oh, right, okay. So prior to this, what sort of company were you working for?
I was self-employed, but just as a freelance, working with lots of different organisations, mostly with graduate recruitment. And a couple of years ago, I decided that I would try and extend the type of services I gave to large recruiters to the small businesses to try and help them to improve their recruitment skills too.
Okay.
Would you say that the whole business of finding a job has changed radically over the last 20 years? Because I can remember, I don't know about you, but literally walking into a job and knowing that you'd probably get it. But now it's so competitive out there, isn't it, for young people, for any age group. Would you say that's
It really changed? Is. Yeah, it really is. And there's so many different roles that didn't used to be around. There's lots of people who are recruiting for very techie roles. It's very difficult to know how good someone is for a techie role. So there's lots of ways in which you advertise your roles, but quality of candidates can be really difficult to find.
Yeah. I think, I've been a careers advisor in school, I think what sometimes happens is that people assume that one size fits all with their CV. So they do this wonderful CV that's pages and pages long, their whole life story, but is of no relevance to the actual job they're applying for. And you say to them, actually, well, if you made it one page for your age group, or two pages if obviously you're a bit older, but target it to the actual vacancy, you'll have a much better probably chance of getting an interview. That's what I'm trying to get across to them.
Absolutely. You should really tailor your CV to the job description and the person spec, if there is one, and really prepare to do all your research on the company to make sure you know, if you're applying for a job, that you know everything about the company and the role, so you're totally prepared for the types of questions that an employer will ask, because it's a very good differentiator to know whether someone really knows the role and the job. They've done their homework. It shows that they really want the job.
Exactly. I remember this woman writing this article about it, and she said that if she gets anything lands on her desk that says "Dear Sir or Madam," she said automatically she'll bin it, because if they bother to look at her website, they'd know it's just her. Her name's Judith. So it means they haven't actually even looked at her website.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
How do you not do that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And also that the chances of your CV being put on the yes pile are very small. A recruiter will look at your CV for approximately 3 seconds. So your CV has to really stand out and really match what the employer is looking for.
Yeah. And is it true, I mean, Ivana and I have both got sort of university age children. Is it true that most recruiters these days will sort of ditch a CV without a 2-1?
No, actually. A lot of recruiters are lowering their benchmark. Lots of the large accountancy firms that I work with, they're actually lowering their benchmark because they think that they're going to be missing out on some really good candidates by keeping the 2-1 as their lever. So it's really important to put across other areas of your skills and abilities, not just your degree.
No, and Russell Group Unis, are they still seen as, you know, the top, or, you know?
They are, by some, but a lot of big organisations are now, if you get through to the interview stage, a lot of the interviewers are actually blind interviewers, so they don't have any information about where you're from, what school you went to, what university you went to, just so that they aren't going to be unconsciously biased about that candidate, which makes it a lot easier for interviewing, actually, because it focuses you totally when you're interviewing someone on the skills and behaviours that you're looking for, and it moves a lot of the other thoughts and feelings you might have about a candidate out of the picture, which is great.
And do most employers sort of let the candidates know in advance what the sort of testing process is going to be? I mean, you know, I know on your website you've talked about things like role play and psychometric and personality testing. Is that advice to candidates in advance these days? Or
It's great if it is, and lots of big organisations are really transparent about what they're looking for. They'll give them hints and tips on interviewing techniques. They'll give them hints and tips on assessment centres. They'll allow them to practice some of the tests they might do. So they give you every single chance they can to be good and to pass through to the next stage.
I know the University of Kent Careers website is one of the best, actually, for giving you guidance in all different things, from the CV to speculative approaches to style-type questions, obviously. Mm. That's a big thing, isn't it? Behavioural-type questions.
Yes. And lots of organisations have moved towards behavioural or competency-based interviewing or strengths-based interviewing. And that is around the STAR technique, yeah. Which lots of the candidates learn. And it gives you a very good impression of a candidate in terms of what they have done, for example, working under pressure, their motivation, their resilience. You can get really good if you ask really probing questions, really focusing on those competencies.
Yeah.
You can gain a lot of information.
To clarify what STAR is, it's situation, task, action, results. So you've got to kind of cover those four things in your response.
Right.
So if they say to you, tell us about a time when you dealt with a challenging situation at work, if you just say, well, I've never dealt with anything like that, what's the next question? Obviously, that's not going to work. You have to come up with an example that covers those things.
Yeah. And is that going to be before you even get to the interview stage? I mean, my son, for example, is online trying to get placements at the moment, and there seems to be like quite a challenging kind of number of questions you have to get through even before you get to interview stage. I mean, is that likely to be that sort of situation on online, or is that when you get to the interview?
It can be online. Lots of organisations use video interviews now,
yeah.
where you speak into a video and then send that to a screener, and they literally screen it, and you get five questions that you're asked. That can be a bit daunting,
yeah.
because anyone would find that quite scary, talking into a video. Or telephone interviews are similar, to get you through to a face-to-face stage. Lots of them use that.
Because I've heard that a lot of younger candidates now are turning towards attaching videos of themselves to try and nail an interview, because they're trying to stand out and be different.
Mm.
Is that something you've come across as being on the rise now?
I think if you're applying for a small company, a small individual SME, that would be a great idea. But if you're looking at a process that is a large organisation, someone won't look at your video,
yeah.
because it gives them evidence on one person that they haven't got on everyone, so that wouldn't really be very fair.
Sure.
But a smaller organisation, you don't have quite such a rigorous process, so a little bit more flexible.
What do companies tell you is their biggest challenge? Is it in having the time to interview all the people? Is it getting the right candidate? What is it that they struggle with?
It's getting the right candidate. I think if you advertise well or use the right recruitment agency, you can get a good set of quality candidates. But the trouble is that a lot of people don't have the interviewing skills to differentiate the right person. So I always encourage recruiters to use a multi-stage process, which can be really simple. It can be a telephone interview, it could be a face-to-face interview, a couple of very simple tasks and exercises that are job-related and almost simulate the role, so that you've got lots of evidence to make your mind up
on
a candidate.
A big
organisation would have an assessment day. I don't suggest any small organisation would have the money for that, but a small version, just with a few tasks and things that really, a few smaller hoops that really differentiate the best candidates can be really good.
Looking at the, again, I'm still on the graduate one, explore other innovations such as apps, games. What are VR solutions?
Mm. Yes, a lot of the large organisations are using virtual reality for some of their stages in the assessment days. I know one client I'm working with is just about to introduce that into their process. They recruit police officers and they're using virtual reality for the first time. Another organisation I know is using telephone apps to measure someone's risk averseness. They have to pop balloons, and apparently that shows someone's risk averseness, how well and how quickly they pop balloons.
Wow.
So, it's getting quite interesting.
Yeah.
All the companies are embracing new technology.
And the psychometric testing, they'll give them the personality test.
Yeah.
And, some of the ridiculous questions they get asked, like one person said that they were asked in an interview, if you were a bottle of red, what type would you be? And they said empty.
Terrible, terrible question. I wrote a blog recently on silly interview questions. It just throws the candidate totally off their best.
But they're trying to see if they can think on their feet, aren't they? And if they can think outside the box.
Yes.
And there's a reason for them doing it.
Yes.
But
if there is a reason, if they do need to be thinking on the spot, coming up with ideas, then that's a great question. But as long as they ask that question to everyone and be fair about it.
Yeah. It's interesting. A friend's son went to one of the big blue chip companies. I won't name them, but a very big blue chip company on a recruitment day. And he wasn't really prepared for the type of questions he was going to be asked or to do any presentation. And clearly all the other candidates were well prepped, either by their parents or their schools or universities, whatever. And he had to stand up and do a presentation, on the hoof. And he just stood up, said something funny, got everyone laughing, really engaged with the audience because he was just thinking, what am I going to do? It's sink or swim. And he got it. Whereas all these people that just came out with the stock answers, textbook stuff,
because sometimes they do want people hand it to them, don't they, for the right reasons.
Yeah, it's like, who can think on their feet? This guy clearly hadn't been prepared for this, and look, he won over the crowd.
Yeah, good spontaneous thinking.
Yeah.
So if you had a couple of powerful questions up your sleeve that a candidate can ask an employer, because I know that I had someone say to me once that in an interview, they were trying to wrap it up after 10 minutes, and he thought, this is obviously not going well, it's not a good sign. So he said to them, what do I need to expand upon, or what do I need to cover to before I leave? And then they gave them all the objections. Well, we're worried about your lack of experience in this and that and that. So then he literally turned the whole interview around. Or what would stop you giving me this job? Those sort of questions that are quite powerful questions. They take quite a lot of courage to ask.
Yeah.
But would you recommend those sort of things in an interview?
I usually, certainly in a competency-based interview, I probably wouldn't, because you're very focused on trying to make sure you've got enough evidence on the selection that you've got. You've got to be very probing and make sure you've got that. If you've got quite time at the end and you were to ask if you were allowing all candidates to talk about that, then that might be a fair question. But I think it's important to make sure you're treating each candidate exactly the same.
So as again, smaller companies, you probably have the time to do that. If they said any final questions, you said, any reservations about offering me this job, and they told you what the reservations were, you could then plug the gaps, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could.
Yeah. I mean, I think the worst question in an interview is, what are your strengths or weaknesses? Because people always try and turn that around, don't they? They sort of do a sort of false negative.
I think the worst one is I'm a perfectionist. I've learned to delegate, and everybody says that's cringe.
Yeah, and it doesn't give you anything
extra
on the candidate. It's just a bit cheesy. Yeah. So much better to go with a really solid question with lots of really good probing questions to get down to the nitty gritty of what they've done on a specific occasion.
Or something off the wall to take, just pull them out of their comfort zone and see how they respond.
Yes, the other very important aspect of interviewing is to make sure you come across as well as an interviewer. People don't realise how important it is. You're the image of the company, you're selling the role and your brand, and you've got to be really prepared for the interview, because I hear all sorts of terrible stories of people not knowing someone's name, not having any questions planned, being on the telephone when they're interviewing somebody. I mean, absolutely appalling examples of someone that you might potentially be working for. It would put you off straight away, wouldn't it?
As I say, it's a two-way process. You're interviewing them as much as they're interviewing you, because you might not want to work for that company.
No. You might be an outstanding candidate and have lots and lots of choices.
Yeah.
So actually, as you say, you're interviewing them.
Yeah.
Just as much. So are you doing any interviewing on behalf of companies, or are you training the people within the company to do the interviews?
I do a bit of both. Okay. I do a lot of telephone interviewing, face-to-face interviewing, and assessment centre assessing on behalf of big organisations usually. But the small organisations, they don't have the resources to spend that on that. So I train them in order that they are going to be going off and doing nice, thorough probing interviews and getting the right evidence for making the decision themselves.
Okay, right.
And lastly, we're conscious of time. Can you just tell us a bit about the Epsom Renewal Arts Festival that's happening between the 2nd and 8th of July?
Thank you. I'm a trustee for the charity MGSO4 Festival, and we're running our festival next on the 2nd to the 8th of July in Epsom and Ewell. We're a group of trustees, we're all volunteers, so it's really hard work, and we've got this great programme that we've put together. One of the great events we've got is the Musician's Guide to a Happy Marriage. That's on Monday, the 2nd of July at the Epsom Playhouse. Professional musicians, Nadine and Paul, it's their debut performance as a married couple on stage. It's light-hearted, witty, classical, jazz, musical. So that's going to be a great event to go to. Another one is Dinner with the BB Horns and Guests. That's on the Wednesday the 4th at Nescott Performing Arts Space. That's a jazz funk cabaret evening, and you get an Indian meal from the local, what are they called, the Raj Academy. And the BB Horns have gigged with all sorts of people, big acts. So that's going to be a great funky evening. And Amy Johnson, Last Flight Out on the Thursday at the Epsom Playhouse. That's an original theatre show inspired by the record-breaking pilot Amy Johnson.
Brilliant.
And her solo flight from England to Australia.
Fantastic.
And there's excellent stuff to line up for you.
That's really good. Right, we're sort of rapidly running out of time. Just before we go, if you could just let us know your company website, so if anyone wants to get in touch with you, what's
yes,
website?
We're at www.therecruitmentteam.co.
.co.
Not .uk, just .co.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Ali. So that was Ali Waters of the Recruitment Team, based in Epsom. Good luck with it all, and keep up the good work, Ali. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk. Or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.